Now, there's been lots of Aaron Boone chatter again in recent weeks with the Yankees struggling. Obviously, Chris Russo chiming in as guest of Joel Sherman and John Heyman on their podcast.
Rank Boone as the manager. He's not better than Cora. He's not better than Bochy. He's not better than Francona. He's not better than Dave Roberts. He's not better than Torrey Lovello. He's not better than A.J. Hinch. He's probably not better than Council, although postseason's been spotty, but he's probably not better than Council. How do the Yankees have a manager who is the eighth best? Now, you guys might think he's higher than I, but I think there's eight managers in the sport better than freaking Boone.
Freaking Boone.
Oh, my God. I love Dog.
And yeah, we all do.
I don't think he's better than this one and better than that one, but, like, come on. Terry Lovello, what has he done? He went to a World Series. Okay, same as Boone. What has Council done? Council got a big contract.
Yes.
He's failed miserably in Milwaukee in the postseason.
He did know the postseason failures. Yeah.
Well, that's just a minor obstacle
footnote
in way of getting in front of the line in front of Aaron Boone. That's all.
All right, now one guy in particular before you continue, because he felt the Yankees could have pivoted to this gentleman this past winter.
Francona gets a job again. You're telling me that Boone is a better manager than Terry Francona? Are you freaking crazy? How did Francona end up with the Reds? Did the Yankees put a call in? See if Francona. Hey, Terry, we had a bad World Series. Our manager killed us in game one. He killed him in game one, guys. That was awful. And Francona ends up in Cincinnati. Everybody loves Boone, and he's not a bad manager, but he's been here a long time with one World Series win, and is, in my opinion, seven or eight managers in a sport better than he is.
Obviously meant World Series appearance, just to clear that up.
Yes.
But
I don't think anyone would disagree that Terry Francona is not a better manager.
Right.
Terry Francona is one of the great managers in baseball.
Yes.
There's no doubt. Same thing with Bruce Bochy. I think we'd all, you know, be willing to admit that Bruce Bochy is a better manager than Aaron Boone.
And that goes back to where the organization is at and the type of guy they want to work with.
Right. So the point is, the Yankees should have the best manager in baseball. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing? Right.
According to Dole.
And I would think most Yankee fans would be laughing the other way, going, eight, I can give you 25 that are better than Aaron Boone. I have no doubt. But just to hear him rank, the managers in baseball. And I don't know if Terry Francona wanted the Yankee job.
That's
I don't know if he wants that kind of pressure.
It's very fair.
I think he's more than happy to go to Cincinnati and, live out his days getting a young upstart team to play.
That's
better.
A very good point.
Yeah.
Because I think some managers are like, man, I just don't need it. Like, Boone wakes up.
He's won championships.
He's had health issues knocked him out at times. So, little less pressure and stress in Cincinnati, I'd imagine.
Right.
Did you know Boone wakes up is like, better, I got to get this team on the right track, but at the same time, I got to deal with the media and everything that comes along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has to win the press conference every night and get ridiculed for not winning it every night.
Pretty much, yeah. There's very few instances where people are like, oh, he really killed it there in the press conference, especially when they're losing. That's just the way it goes. Mets are back to work tonight. All of a sudden, Carlos Mendoza has been taking some heat for the things he's had to say after some of these losses. The Mets will try to put an end to a seven-game skid when they host the Braves in the first of three at Citi Field. Clay Holmes, Spencer Strider, the starters for a 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Phillies did beat the Reds last night 4-1, so they are 6 up on the Mets. The Mets now 2 games clear of Cincinnati for that third and final wild card berth in the National League. And the Brewers made it 10 straight wins, 7-1 atop the Pirates. They got to deal with Paul Skenes tonight. But then again, the Pirates don't really score runs for him, so that could mean another win for Milwaukee. Jets and Giants have their first of two joint practices today in Florham Park. Tomorrow they'll be in East Rutherford before their annual preseason game this Saturday. Impressive honesty and self-awareness from Justin Fields following Saturday night's game against the Packers. As Brian Costello of the New York Post mentioned, some glowing compliments from one Aaron Glenn.
Just compliment you a few times on your maturity and kind of your ability to shut out the noise, the outside noise. Quarterbacks are always going to hear it.
Yeah.
Have you always been good at that?
No, I have not.
No hesitation, and obviously a guy who went through it and some tough times in Chicago. And what he got to deal with last year in Pittsburgh, giving way to Russell Wilson, all part of evolving as a quarterback and a professional.
I've learned over the years that, no matter what you do, everybody's going to have an opinion on you. So, and opinions don't matter, whether they're good or bad. You just have to take a reality check sometimes. And, the only people's opinion that matters to me is the guys in the building.
So good mindset for him and good
He's
opportunity
lot,
for him
man.
This year, obviously. Yeah.
He's been through a lot, especially going through what he went through in Chicago, Atlanta, and Pittsburgh. Having a 4-2 record and still getting the ball pulled from him. It's not easy.
That is not easy,
Speaking of criticism and blocking out the noise and having the right mentality, it took Geno Smith a while to figure that out. We talked about it last week. Tough time here in New York, but a career that's come full circle all these years later. Now with the Raiders, they played their preseason opener in Seattle last week, so it was a quick return there for both him and Pete Carroll, new Raiders head coach. So I don't know if you guys caught this. There was a fan in the stands who had a sign that read, who was the bigger bust, Geno or Jamarcus Russell? to which Geno flipped the guy the double bird. So here was Pete Carroll when asked about that after the fact.
Geno Smith was seen at the Seahawks game making an obscene gesture like at a fan with a sign.
Did you see what the sign said?
Yeah, I saw it.
Next question.
Yeah, so there's back in this. Hey,
that's the way to have your guys back.
That's the way you have your guys back. Yeah. Absolutely. That should have been the answer.
I saw a still image. It looked like, maybe I have this wrong. I think it's Carroll passed the same sign. I think tried to like reach up and take it from the guy.
I'm surprised they let him pause that much. Because it also is patently ridiculous.
Right.
Like it's not even a real, it's just stupidity.
Yeah.
It's just trying to get under the skin, and it obviously worked.
Yes.
I mean, Jamarcus Russell is one of the biggest busts in NFL history.
I mean,
he just signed a contract to go play for the Raiders.
Yes.
Like, it's not even close.
And mind you, has numbers in Seattle.
Oh, of course. Like, no, it had a nice run. Took him to the postseason. Had a really good run.
I mean, after he left New York, people thought we would never see Geno Smith again. Yeah. Landing in Seattle, it made him a competitive outfit.
Yeah.
So I think, to your point, put some respect on his
name. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The only thing that we all, at least in this town, the Geno Smith thing is that he played instead of Eli Manning. That was the moment that was just like,
right. Which wasn't his fault.
No, which wasn't his fault, which was Brian. I think we also
remember the sucker punch.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to.
We discussed last week,
and Monday was the 10-year anniversary.
I guess the breaking of Eli Manning's streak is a bigger deal than
it was
fight
more recent than that. But
yeah,
that was a big deal at the time because he was primed to lead that offense with Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
I guess Fitzpatrick
ended up having a big offensive year until week 17 in Buffalo. Mm-hmm.
Was that Shermer or McAdoo?
It was Shermer. That was McAdoo.
That was McAdoo.
Yeah. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that
everyone
day.
Everyone did.
Right. He was given the normal post-practice like scrum, like, and he started with the injuries. Like, so it was just like, so on this we have a hamstring, he has an ankle, and Geno Smith will start on Saturday.
Just slid it in next.
Like, what?
Wasn't McAdoo's thing, he always wore khaki pants that were like too big and that iron?
Introductory press conference.
Yeah.
It looked like he basically bought it off the rack, at Marshall's or something.
Yeah. And I always talk about this too, because I was with Mike Francesa. I used to produce and run the board for Mike Francesa. And I went to camp that next year. The first year McAdoo takes over, 16, they win 11 games, they go to the playoffs. Pretty much on the backs of their defense.
Yeah.
They have the boat trip. They lose that game in Green Bay. They're out there running with no shirts on before the game, the whole bit. The next year, they sign Brandon Marshall. They expect to have this big year. And I remember going to camp, and he had like the big doofy oversuits and the kind of like bowl haircut and everything. And then he shows up to camp, and it is slicked back like Pat Riley. And he's wearing the glasses.
It was Gordon Bombay in Mighty Ducks, too.
Yes, he was Gordon Bombay in Mighty Ducks, too. There's no doubt. He was feeling himself, and I remember thinking, wow, this could feel, he practically put his feet up on the desk to talk to Mike. Like, it was just like, they're here, they have arrived. The Giants thought they were going to be so good that year. That feeling around camp, they were expecting one more Super Bowl run from Eli Manning, and they fell on their face immediately. They went 0-4 and could not stop the slide to save their lives, and then really culminated with taking Eli Manning out, and then the team just gave up.
Benny with the good hair.
He showed up to that camp. I'll never forget it. I was like,
is there a picture of that?
He got crushed in the initial opening press conference for looking like, you know,
like
this
a schlub.
But then it was a guy that lived in the team issued attire. You know, you get him in the quarter zip and the shorts.
He said
and
he hadn't worn a suit in years because he's a football coach and he had lost like 40 pounds in the subsequent years.
So why
not
just throw that?
Dave was similar. Remember the Dave when he gets out of the blue pickup truck in the snow and walks in with the suit and the briefcase and that like staged video.
They
did because of the way it was presented on social media.
Yeah,
but
of course.
He doesn't exactly, dress up nice in a suit either. And I'm not knocking the guy.
No.
You know?
But at least he started with like this, I'm a blue collar coach.
Yes.
Coming to coach a blue collar team in a blue collar city.
Very true.
So,
he tried to give you guys Patrick Mahomes too.
I know McAdoo did. That's a famous story that he was in that year of the draft. He was pounding the table to get to trade up and get Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't
do it. never heard from again.
So, he wasn't a great coach, but maybe a talent evaluator.
The way Stilo looked at me like,
that would have been.
Sometimes it sucks to suck, bro.
Yeah. But let's be totally honest. He still would be good. But he wouldn't be Patrick Mahomes with the Giants.
Correct.
No, he wouldn't be Patrick Mahomes with the Giants. He'd be.
But he'll be way better than what we've seen the last.
I think he'd probably still be the starter of the New York Giants, but he wouldn't be the greatest quarterback in the NFL.
Just like all the Jet fans who clamored for Trevor Lawrence, who's been mid, to quote Jackson Dart down in Jacksonville.
Yep.
I'm sorry, it would have been a train wreck here in New York. Very successful.
Josh Allen would have been a train wreck here, and he might be the most gifted quarterback ever.
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah, people don't realize how we talk about development. They develop. Like, year three, I mean, it took 3 years for him to kind of like shave him down, get his game together, and kind of build the offense around his skill set. It wasn't like he was hot out there. I mean, he was a wild cowboy for the first 2 years. Third year, he was like, okay, this is how I got to play the position. So.
And who developed him?
Brian Daboll.
Brian Daboll. That's right. Let's go, Brian Daboll. Let's go. We got another quarterback to develop, baby. I'm pumped about it.
We'll see what happens.
That's all we can do, but I'm excited.